Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to look right at chapter 10 in John. The Master says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." I say unto you. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And so we have a very simple parable, a parable of the Good Shepherd. A parable that most people in the world are too busy to follow. No wonder even the disciples were unable to comprehend the meaning at that time. The parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Every word in there is simple English. Most of them are monosyllables. There's not a word in there that you'd have to look up in a dictionary. And yet the parable of the Good Shepherd remains a complete enigma to many advanced students, as well as to those who have merely read it in their normal theological activities. Now, I feel that in order to understand this parable, we should go back, way, way back to John the Baptist. Here says the Master, "I am the Good Shepherd." And if you recall, it was John the Baptist who pointed to the one who said, "I am the Good Shepherd," and said, "Follow him, not me. He must increase, I must decrease. He is the Lamb of God, the Son of God. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit." He even said he will save mankind from sin. And so John the Baptist pointed the way, and very importantly, John, the beloved disciple, placed this at the very beginning. So we would see that following the Lamb of God, the Son of God, is the way. And then as we learned that we must follow the Lamb of God, we still were unaware of the nature of the Lamb of God and of the identity of the Lamb of God. And so that had to be clarified step by step through all the veils of the conditioned mind. Who is this Lamb of God that we are to follow, who now announces himself to be the Good Shepherd? John the Baptist clued us in there again. "On him I have seen the dove descend, and on the one on whom the dove remains, I have been told, that is he." That is the one to follow. He has seen Spirit descend like a dove. So we're to follow this man who appears on the banks of the Jordan, upon whom spirit has descended like a dove. We find him accepting Andrew as a disciple and Peter, who are leaving John the Baptist, moving out of intellect into the higher realm of spiritual consciousness. And we see him talking to Nicodemus, saying something that would be very puzzling to the millions who have thought that because they were virtuous on earth, they were sure to go to heaven. To Nicodemus he said, "Marvel not that I say, unless a man be born, reborn of the truth and the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God." Even virtuous old Nicodemus, a student of God, could not enter into the kingdom of God unless he were reborn of the truth and the Spirit. So the millions who think they've gone to heaven have not read their Bible. And those who think their loved ones have gone to heaven are fooling themselves. Were they reborn of the truth and the Spirit before they made this parting? If not, they have been misled. And now they are probably among us again, still finding their way. Even ourselves, how many times have we been misled into thinking, perhaps in some past life, that we were going to heaven because we were so good? But here we are, we haven't made it yet. Who is this saying to Nicodemus, "You must be reborn of the Spirit and the truth"? It is the one who later says, "I am the good shepherd." And now we find him at the wedding in Cana. And he reveals that he is not a mortal being. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? I am not the son of a woman. I am the Son of God." And this revelation that he is immortal, not mortal, reveals why John the Baptist had to point and say, "Follow him. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost." He was pointing to the living Spirit of God on earth, made manifest in the flesh. The living Spirit of God then reveals that each must be reborn of that Spirit. And to emphasize that a transformation is necessary, water is transformed into wine. This is the way of saying that we must be reborn of the from the water into the wine of spirit. But still the clarity does not emerge. We're seeing parables, we're seeing demonstrations. We're still not learning the principles involved. At the well of Samaria, we are given one of the principles very strongly. Christ sitting on the well. The water must come through Christ to be living water. Christ must sit on the well of our consciousness. We must give Christ to drink. Now there we begin to understand that unless Christ sits on the well of your consciousness, you will labor again and again and again for the same thing, always being unable to attain the level of grace, that only through Christ sitting on the well of your consciousness do you begin to redeem the thought of the world, which has been out picturing itself as your living experience in this world. We begin to sense the nature of the human mind as inadequate for entering the kingdom of heaven. We begin to understand that humanhood can never know God. We begin to see that there is a picture emerging that this Christ who walks the earth, who will baptize with the Holy Ghost, who transforms water into wine, who speaks to the woman of Samaria and tells her about living waters, is the identity of every individual who walks the earth. We are looking at our own self, manifest to us in the form called Jesus, the Christ that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Is identity, the living self of you, me, him, her. And when John the Baptist points and says, follow him, he is telling us to follow Christ within ourselves. Finally, the idea is clear that unless we have accepted Christ as identity, we do not have Christ sitting on the well of consciousness. And we are separated thereby, for we learn that only Christ goes to the Father, that only through Christ does the Father express in the human sphere, that only when Christ is accepted as your own spiritual identity do you express the qualities of God. And once we begin to feel the implanting of that idea, it is necessary to show the nature of I, the Christ, that is yourself. And now the demonstrations are expanded so that we find a boy is healed. A boy who is not even present where the Master is. And we learn that I, Christ, which heals a boy who is not present, is not revealing its absent healing, but rather that I, Christ, is omnipresent. I, Christ, standing as Jesus, is I, Christ, the invisible self of the boy miles away. And now we learn that I, Christ, which is your identity, is present miles away. And this is a totally new understanding that comes into the horizon of human knowledge. I, Christ, in you is now miles away. And I, Christ, in you miles away can heal miles away, just as I, Christ, can heal right where you are. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Why? Because I, Christ, am the life of your son there. That is why. And we discover that I, Christ, is not a form, is not a material body, is not a mortal being, but is essence, life. Now the message comes loud and strong that what has been revealed to us from the beginning of John is you must follow the essence and not the form. You must follow the life and not the form. You must follow the essence of your own being and not the form. And this essence that you are is the underlying reality here and there. There is no separation between I, Christ Jesus, and I, Christ, the Son of the nobleman who is saved. There is no separation in the essence, although there is separation in the forms. And we begin to know that living in a sense of form, I live in a sense of separation from other individuals and from God, because the mind which presents the images of form is ever separated from the essence. The Son of Man is being lifted up in us with the knowledge that I am essence, appearing to mortal mind as form. And this re-identification as essence comes upon you as you see the Master now multiplying loaves and fishes. Where do they come from? They come from the essence, the omnipresent essence, the essence that is in the sky and in the sea, in the atmosphere around you, the essence that is everywhere. But why does it come only for him? Because he stands there in the knowledge that his essence is everywhere. He has accepted the infinite self, the one indivisible eternal self, to be his self. That is why he baptizes with the Holy Ghost. I am the Christ appearing as Jesus becomes visible as loaves and fishes feeding multitudes, becomes visible as the life of a nobleman's son, becomes visible as the healed cripple, becomes visible as the healed blind man. Just as loaves and fishes fall out of the sky, now we must know where these loaves and fishes actually are. And we find them in the five porches, where the cripple is healed, in the sense mind, the five senses, the five porches, the five shades, that which keeps out the sunlight of Christ. We find the cripple is not a cripple when the five porches are removed, when the consciousness is lifted above the sense mind. We find the hungry people are not hungry anymore when the consciousness is lifted above the sense mind. We discover that the essence of the Christ is not confined to that spot where Jesus stands. He can move out of the sky, and now from a mountain he moves onto the water. Why? Again, the demonstration that my essence is everywhere. In form, I am limited. In essence, I have no boundaries. Follow him, says John the Baptist, follow the essence which has no boundaries in form, which is independent of form, in fact, which has dominion over form. And so we discover that our lack of dominion is because we live in the concept of form instead of in the identity of essence. Ever growing is the knowledge that, like Nicodemus, each of us must come to the understanding that I am not a form. I am not a material body. I am not a mortal being. My name is Essence, Spirit of God, Christ, Son of God. And when we re-identify as the essence of God, it is not enough. the essence that I am, the essence that you are, must be the same essence that comes forth as loaves and fishes from the sky, or money from a fish's mouth, or the unhindered life of a cripple, or the eyes of a blind person that can see. The essence is never confined to where you stand. The essence of you is the essence of God, never fractionalized. And now we know that the only self you can be is the infinite self. The infinite essence, without beginning or end, never born and never dying, never mortal, never material. Only in that essence do we begin to open our eyes, to feel the freedom of spirit, and to make sure that we are aware of it. The Master finally tells us we are blind. Blind because we live in a physical sense of life when we are the essence of God. And so when we come now to the Good Shepherd, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the essence of God, and I am your identity. The essence of God that you are is the Good Shepherd. 9 chapters of John have given you a clue that the essence of God which you are is capable of doing all of the miracles that appear in the Bible, and greater, if you believe on yourself to be that essence. And so he now explains to his own disciples what he has been training them to do, to feel, to know. He has been giving them a life called living the presence of God as your own very being. He has taken out of the sky the concept of God and brought it down to earth. He has told those who would destroy his body that he's not in that body at all. He has told us that he is living essence, not a physical form. And if you destroy what you call a physical form, I will raise it up in 3 days. And the only reason I can do that is because there is no one in that form you're going to destroy. I am essence. What I am is your name. And if anyone were to destroy your form, you must find that consciousness which knows that I am not in that form. I am the essence of God. And I will raise this body up in 3 days. The same eye that walks the water is essence. The same eye that is going to be crucified is essence, and therefore uncrucifiable. This essence is revealed as the essence of all being, and there is no other. Now we have form, which is under the dominion of essence. Essence takes dominion over form. And when you live in essence, as essence, knowing yourself to be essence, the qualities of that essence, being present, are awakened. And manifest, demonstrating the omnipotence of essence over form. The secret is coming very clearly now, that there are many forms, but one indivisible essence. That one indivisible essence is the name of every individual who walks the earth. There is one indivisible essence one being, and when you are aware of it as the substance of your being, you are one with the essence of everyone who walks the earth. When you are accepting people in their forms, unaware of that essence which is theirs and yours, you're under the law of humanhood. But when you are accepting that there is no second essence, no second self, you'll find yourself under the law of divinity. This will become the way we follow the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is this one indivisible, infinite essence which is our life. I am the Good Shepherd. Now let's listen to his explanation to his disciples. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Explaining his own parable. I am the door of the sheep. Now, sheep has two meanings here, not one. You'll find that sheep refers to the divine qualities of the essence of God. Sheep will refer to the divine thoughts. Sheep are not just human beings following Christ. And you'll see why in a moment. I am the door. Now then, a door opens from one place into another. This door opens from the world we live in into heaven. But because the world we live in is not the creation of God, it opens from unreality into reality. Actually, this door takes us out of mortality into immortality now. The door out of mortality, out of a dying body, is the essence of God. I am. That essence is my doorway out of mortality into immortality, into life without end. But I don't open that door and walk through it. The door is our way of life, the way we live every day, living as the essence of God, the living Christ of God, the Spirit of God, not living as a form, not living under the law of form, or the belief in the conditions of form, but living in the knowledge that the essence of God contains the qualities of God, and therefore I, being that essence, find all those qualities to be present where I am. And you, being that essence, I find all those qualities present where you are. And everyone being that essence, I find all those qualities present everywhere, so that we are decentralized. We're not thinking in terms of me over here, but of the essence that I am everywhere. And this is the acceptance of the door. The door is your essence everywhere. And only when you are willing to live in the everywhereness of your spirit, denying it to no one, are you living in the door. I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. Now, when you're living in that essence, which is your conscious realization of its presence, you will feel the quickening of it. And the quickening of the essence in your consciousness releases the activity of that essence, expressing the divine qualities. Those qualities that express within the essence, moving through you, these are called a sheep. The shepherd is the Spirit of God. The sheep are the qualities of that Spirit. They will only follow the shepherd. They can only be activated when you're in that consciousness that the Spirit of God is your name. And then the divine qualities follow the shepherd, which is your spirit. All the qualities of the Father, that omnipresence which can show forth as the loaves and fishes, can only show forth where there is one accepting that spirit to be not only here but over there. If I think the Spirit of God is confined to my body, how can loaves and fishes come out of the sky? I have to know that the Spirit of God being everywhere, my spirit is everywhere, and I have to be living in that consciousness and no second consciousness. And so I am the door to the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And this is a statement that there is no divine activity on this earth. All that came before me were thieves and robbers. Who came before the Spirit of God? Illusions. People. Men. Women. Teachers. Men of flesh, thieves and robbers. What could they offer? Nothing, because I am the door. The Spirit of God in you is all that can enter the kingdom of heaven on earth. The last 10 or 15 years of drugs were a complete ignorance of this simple rule. I am the door. You can't get in with mescaline, LSD, speed. There's no entrance into the kingdom of heaven. You can change from one state of mentality to another, but it's not the door to reality. It's the door from one form of unreality to another, however pleasurable or edifying the experience may be. It is not the door. And the statement that I am the door is made by the Spirit of God, which gives us the truth. I am the door, not drugs. All who enter by any other door are thieves and robbers. And so you take all of the ologies. If the Spirit of God is the only door, then what good is theology if it's not dealing with the Spirit of God? Or how do you read the stars and come to the kingdom of God? Or how do you study biology, or physiology, or psychology, or any ology, if the only way to the heaven on earth is through the Spirit of God? And so we're being told that the human mind is the thief and the robber. The human mind does not enter the kingdom of God, because it's not the door. And all mental effort, all physical effort, all armies, all missiles, all technology, all science is not the door. The only door is you, the living Spirit of God. And that is the only door which releases the divine qualities of God into your experience. That's why I am the good shepherd. The Spirit of God that you are is the shepherd that releases the divine qualities which are the sheep into your living daily experience, converting the appearance called earth into heaven. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep, the divine qualities, could not respond to men, no matter how exalted their motives. No human words or hopes or ambitions can release the divine qualities. They cannot express in human beings. They can only express in the essence, the door, the shepherd, the spiritual self. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Now again, there are many esoteric codes in here, going in and out. This door goes in to something and out of something. But when you're in the door, you can go in. When you're in the essence, you go in to a new body. And you go out of the old body. And that new body goes out of the old universe into a new universe. And it finds pasture. It finds grace. It is fed and sustained by the infinite. When we have accepted spiritual identity, we go in to the body of the soul. And we move out of mortality. We move out of corporeality. And we can move out and even return into corporeality. We can go in and out of this world. Some have done just that. Some have attained and returned on a mission. They have gone in and out. They can move silently through the universe because they are not in a physical, confined form. Spirit is not limited to time or space. Did he not step on a ship and it was on the shore instantly? The next day, without a ship, did he not disappear? Did they not try to lay hands on him but could not touch him? Why? Because he could go in and out. But he was the Spirit of God. You are the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can go in and out. Liberty from physical confinement, from material law. Did he not walk on a sea? Why? Because he was able to go in and out. Did he not stop the storm? Why? Because essence has dominion over form. But you are essence. And therefore, in the essence of you is the capacity to stop the storm. In the essence of you is the capacity to remove poverty, to abolish famine, to overcome the illusion of death. to reveal the non-reality of sickness. The essence has total dominion over form. I am the door. I am the way. When you walk in your essence, the divine qualities of omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence are released, and grace functions without a barrier. When you discover that this is true, even in a measure, you're on your way to demonstrating a higher degree of it. That is why any other door is unsatisfactory. Any other door has no power to take dominion over form, to take dominion over weather, to take dominion over sickness and disease, to take dominion over death, to take dominion over war and hatred and violence. There is only one door to dominion, and that is the door of essence, which is the only power there is. Before essence, every so-called material power is dissolved. And essence is the only name that is true of all of us. I've tried to release the divine qualities of my being by resting in essence, and whenever the quickening comes, you realize why that is the door. This shifting of the belief in form to essence, which is actually Christ, removes certain pictures in the mind. In the mind, you can think of yourself with shoulders and arms, a certain kind of build, certain weight, certain feeling of movement. But when you start to think of essence, there are no pictures in the mind. There are no images. The conditioning dissolves. The sense of weight dissolves. And you'll find that in the knowledge of essence, there is a feeling of not being in a specific spot, but rather there is a sort of everywhere feeling. And then the mind has instinctively removed itself as a barrier. And the images in the mind are no longer there as a stone. And something else flows. So imperceptibly and yet so quickly that one minute you can feel tired, uninspired, fumbling around. The next minute, there's a clarity. There's a sense of purpose. There's a feeling of being guided. And of course, all of that is the flesh being quickened. Right out of flesh into spiritual cognition. And then you find you're tuned. You're receiving. And now, although you can't put it into words, you're really no longer separated. You're part of the infinite activity of the universe, and it shows right where you are. The infinite functioning, expressing through the Good Shepherd, which is your spirit, and those sheep are now obedient to your spirit, expressing all of that which is necessary at the moment. The picture of grace is being presented here to us. The missing link, which removes all sense of evil, error, and imperfection from your consciousness. You can look at disease one day with human eyes, and the next day from the essence of your own being, and you can see why disease never really existed except in the fourth state of consciousness. For the moment, hold the knowledge that you are the essence of God. And hold that active mind which would deny it in a state of suspension. You are opening yourself to the door which goeth to the Father. The door which transforms. It does the work. It needs no help. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And that saving means specifically that he shall find life instead of death. For the Spirit quickeneth unto life. He's pushing us into that level which will not stay in a stagnancy of mortality. He's making us progress into new mansions of consciousness. He's forcing us to move out of this earth into heaven. He's making us see that being better humans is not the way. He's making us as parents realize that to say to our children, we want you to be better children, is not the way. That we're not to make them into better human beings and be satisfied. We must behold them as the Spirit of God. For that is the door. That is the door to the realization of their immortal self. We cannot behold them as mortal children, or we are not accepting the door. I can't say I am the Spirit, but that child is not. That's a mortal child. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. I'm being told here that's not my son and my daughter. That's the essence of God. I'm being told to open my consciousness to the knowledge that my child is the essence of God and I am the child of that God too. That my parent is the essence of God. That my parent's parent is the essence of God. This door must be infinite. I cannot close it to one and open it to another. My consciousness must expand to accept that the essence of God is the only self there is. I must be taken out of the sense of separated forms called children and mothers, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. We must leave them for my sake, which is the invisible essence. We must take ourselves out of the law of form, which is the law of good and evil, into the law of perfection, which is the law of one indivisible perfect spirit. That is the door. I have no right to bind anyone into mortality by my ignorance when I am being specifically told that Spirit, Christ, is the name of that individual. All else is a thief and a robber. I am robbing that individual of their immortality by not recognizing it and losing my own. So we begin to look at our children a different way. We look at our parents a different way. We realize that the Spirit of God, which is the spirit of my parent, and the Spirit of God, which is the spirit of me, are one and the same. Physically, we are all manifestations of the world mind. Spiritually, we are all the one invisible self. Choose ye. The door, or continue as a thief and a robber in the false consciousness that knows not its own true being.